We have to barter with him to get him up here. So you, just don't be upset because he gets four, okay? You can sit down now. You understand, God loves people, and sometimes they get into a mood or an attitude where they just want to go where? Away. And God goes, I want to follow you, but every time I follow you, you keep walking away. And so pretty soon, God's got to just stop, and he's got to go, as soon as you're ready, I want you to come back because I want to get close to you. Now, that's the whole sermon. It's real simple. You've got it. Remember, here's the sermon now. Don't be so dumb as to run away from God. Because after a while, God's not going to keep following you. He's got to let you go. And finally, he'll say to you, when you're ready, come near me because I want to get close to you. You got it. Can you remember the whole sermon?
Yep.
All right. Now listen, if anybody falls asleep in your row, you tell them the sermon after they wake back up at the end. Okay, so.
Like everything you said.
Yeah, you just tell them that. That's the sermon, okay? Now, I have three choices. You only can get one, though. All right? This will go quick. Ha, ha, ha. That one is apple. That one is
blueberry.
Please
make this be chocolate.
And this.
Strawberry.
Wait, you guys got enough chocolate. There you go. Just one. Or, yeah, you can take four for daddy. That's good. Four for daddy. They're actually nutritious today. Oh, who needs a gluten-free? I got gluten-free in here. Well, she can take two. You can take two, honey. Take one. Give it to dad. He likes those. Yeah. Just one. Just one. There you go. Yeah. No, just one. 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 No, no, one. Some people's children. I say that in school all the time, and the kids go, what? So I apologize. I have so little self-control sometimes. What do you say to a group of people beat down, who have come back from captivity, who have come back to a ruined city and ruins all around them, started to build the temple, then quit, just overwhelmed, too hard, too much work, and it's too disappointing, it's not even going to look half as good as Solomon's temple. They just shut down, and they are feeling absolutely defeated. All right? Well, that's Zechariah's situation. Okay, people are not feeling brave or particularly bold. They're not even feeling very successful because when they build it, everyone kind of goes, is that the best you can do? Is that all it's going to look like? The old one was so much better, right? And as a result, the people are very defeated. They're very down. They're very disheartened. And here comes Zechariah saying, and God told me I have a message for you. All right, you're going to hear this over and over again as we go through Zechariah and we start to see what God is doing in this. And he says, God needs you to know this. And this first one, which is kind of both a challenge as well as a really encouraging thing, if we can pull it all together, as we focus on Zechariah verse 1 now, we've got this situation. I'm going to go right to verse 2. It says, the Lord was very angry with your relatives, your great-grandpa and your great-grandma. All right? He takes them right back there. He said, I need you to know something that I'm going to talk to you about. He said, the reason you guys are in Babylon is because those people taught you a very important lesson, and God was showing that he is not mincing words. When God gets angry and God has to deal with disobedient people, something's going to give. So he goes into this verse and he says, God was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty now says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will, kids, return to you. You understand? He's going, you have decisions to make. They're serious decisions. They're decisions that will not only affect you, but your children and future generations. And the question that's being posed to these people in this absolutely defeated moment where they don't feel anything they're doing is going to make it or last or be worthwhile, here's the challenge. You know, when God invited your forefathers to be obedient to Him, they didn't do it. And God is extending that invitation to you, and the question is, what are you going to do with it? God wants to draw near to you, and the question is, what are you and how are you going to respond? We can talk about the Martin Luthers of the past, and we can applaud them, and that's great. And we can talk about other reformers, but they're all irrelevant to us right now. The question is, who's the next Martin Luther sitting here among us? Who's the next individual who's willing to take the stand in a situation that appears heartless, hopeless, determined, almost filled with defeat? And the question is, I am raising up these kind of people. And so here's Zechariah challenging. He says, you've all known how you got here. You all understood. Somebody else let it go. And you understand, when you let it go, there's going to be consequence to it. There's going to be results. And you're suffering because somebody 10, 20, 40, 60, 100 years ago didn't stand where they needed to stand. Or you today aren't standing where you need to stand. And then the question posed to you is, what will your culture world be like for that child or that next individual that you care about as you look into the future and think about children, grandchildren, or anyone else that you might be accountable for? And God is looking, and here's Zechariah in the middle of this, and it doesn't sound encouraging at first, but it really, really is. He goes, there's this challenge. He says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and here's the gospel side. I will return to you. I can't wait to run toward you. I wanted to almost use the prodigal father as an example and use that and say, well, you don't like the prodigal father. As soon as that son comes to his senses, that father is running out that door to greet him. That's how anxious God is that you return to him. However, if you get content with the circumstances, the conditions of the church, the people of God, the situations around you, when there is no courage, God can't draw near to you because you're existing, like Brian illustrated, moving away from the expectations of God. And the expectations of God stand strong. They won't change, which is one of his points that he makes next. Watch this, okay? It says this, declares the Lord Almighty. Then he goes on to say, and I will return to you. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says, turn from your evil ways. Watch the next phrase. And your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, says the Lord. Now you're going, why are you doing this to us? And God goes, you know, here they were 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and here's the inconsistency of the forefathers. Their faithlessness, their willingness to love the stuff, to be caught up in the world, and to exist and create a Israel of the world, so much so that God says, I'm going to bring judgment. You've got to stop this. It's going to cause a problem. It's not going to turn out the way you want. And finally, he puts his foot down. Babylon comes down, destroys many of them, destroys the temple, destroys the walls, destroys Jerusalem as their hometown, and carries them off into Babylonian captivity under the takeover of the Persians, who are Iranians today, by the way. Under the takeover of the Persians, the Israelites begin to trickle back and return. And so that's the situation. But God's not going to wimp around. He's going to say, do you understand? I haven't changed. I held those people accountable, and you're now living in the consequence of their laziness, their stubbornness, their unwillingness to listen, their unwillingness to change, their unwillingness to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You fill in the blank. And it's because of their unwillingness to be what I asked them and called them to be that you now are paying the price of look around you and see your destroyed city, your destroyed temple, and your destroyed walls. And so here's Zechariah, and he's telling them the truth, okay? He's letting them know. He finishes it off. He says, where are your forefathers now? Well, they're dead, sir. Good. And prophets, do they live forever? And the answer is no. But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Yes. What are you learning? The word of the Lord remains forever. What are you learning? If I promise you something, it'll come. If I warn you about something, it will happen. This is not me being mealy-mouthed. This is me asking the question, how do you like the circumstances of the world you're living in? How do you like the condition of the church? How do you like the things that we're dealing with right now? This is your moment. This is your opportunity. You're paying the price of what was done earlier. It's going to continue. God is going to continue to call and challenge and invite. And the warning goes, learn from their mistakes and their foolishness so that you don't repeat them. And then he finishes it off and it goes on. Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. Now I go, what's the good news about that? I always like to tell the kids, you know, growing up, I got spanked. I belt this wide. And then I smile and I say, I never got a spanking I didn't deserve. And I got about 1,000 of them I never got that I did deserve. I mean, it wasn't like I was beaten regularly. Enough. All right. I learned well that way. And the kids go, oh, no, 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 you were beaten. I go, get over it, you know. I always go, I turned out pretty good, you know, in Twitch form. How do you learn? How do you shake up this next generation? How do you bring them? Not them, not like they're over there. This generation that's sitting right here. How does God shake you? How does God get your attention? Do you understand? I've warned you. When you turn your back on me, when you pursue stuff, when you devalue life, when you treat children the wrong way, when you behave in ways that are improper in terms of relationships and marriages and everything else, there's a cost. There is a price to be paid. It is going to hurt you. It isn't even that God is sitting up there going, I want to bring judgment into your life. He's going, please do not think I warn you so I can hear myself talk. I'm warning you, encouraging you, and challenging you so that this thing turns. I want victory for you. And so as you start to rebuild the temple, as you start to rebuild the walls, the people are going, we're not going to go there, Lord. We're not going to use that. We're not going to go back to what they did. We're going to begin to demonstrate a degree of faithfulness. We're going to stand our ground. We're going to be uncompromising. And they repented. They repented because they understood, you know, the old proverbial, do you want to do the same stupid thing that they did, or have you learned from their mistake? I once was talking to a child that said, oh, I'm so thankful for all the idiocy I've had in my life. And I knew a lot of details about this child. And I go, what do you mean? Well, you know, if I hadn't been immoral, if I hadn't used drugs, if I hadn't done this, I've learned so much. And I go, why did you always choose to learn it the hard way? You know, we can learn things more than in one way experiencing it, right? I remember the Hovind joke. Any of you watch Hovind? The guy talks about evolution and preaches Christianity and stuff. And he said he had one student come up to him and say, Mr. Hovind, did you never have alcohol in your life? Mr. Hovind answers, no. I've never had even any alcohol in my life. I've never had one beer or anything. It goes, although I had a little NyQuil. And I know that has a little alcohol, so I've had some of that. He said, well, how are you going to know what it's like? And Hovind looks at him and says, there's a whole lot of other ways to learn stuff besides trying it, he said, and there's this picture that appears on the screen of his presentation, a big semi-truck, and the person's got his head near the front wheel. He's laying it down. You think I have to have a semi-drive over to my head to figure out if it's good or bad for me? Well, the answer is some people live like that, right? Kids go, I have to do this. Why? It's as stupid for you to do those experiments as it would be for you to put your head under a truck. It's totally illogical. It fits nothing. And here's, you know, Zachariah's talking to these people, says, are you going to learn from these people, or are you condemning yourself to repeat the same kind of stupidity, arrogance, and foolishness that they were living? And the people respond, we don't want to do that anymore. And that's as simple as the challenge is for you and I. It sounds so simple, but you have to understand, change requires change. It's why we don't like it. All right? If I'm going to actually do something to change my circumstances, my life, my behavior, my future, or anything else, that I don't follow in the footsteps of the same stupidity or arrogance that other people have followed, it's going to require I have to deal with change in my life. It's part of why we chafe at it. It's part of why we struggle at it. I don't want to change, okay? And you find yourself sliding into what's comfortable, which produced the exact same thing over here that eventually brought the Babylonians down to destroy their culture, which eventually destroyed their city, which eventually destroyed their country. And God says, are you learning anything? Or through Zechariah, obviously, are you learning anything? And whatever it was, the working of the Spirit, they nod their head and say, we do not want to go back to that. Now, you have to get that kind of commitment from individuals or people. There has to be that room. Because otherwise, you know, we kind of spin and do the same thing repeatedly. And God is calling these people. He said, I have something new for you. I have a plan. Now, Zechariah is going to be filled with a lot of the good news of the Messiah. It's a book that has the Messiah is coming. The promise is coming. Jesus is arriving. Here's the prophecies. And not only that, he's coming back for you. So Zechariah has this beautiful little tandem thing going of not only the Messiah arriving the first time, but the Messiah coming the second time, and he's looking at you and say, I heard your decision. I heard you say I'm willing to get committed. I heard you say I don't want to be like my forefathers. He said, good. All right? I want you to do this so that all of these blessings, which I'm predicting, prophesying, can be poured out into your life. Zechariah has nothing but good to give these people. But it's like anything, okay? Have you ever known someone, they have that a disease and it's going to have to change their diet and they don't change? You know, you're going to stop smoking? You know, well, I've been smoking for 43 years. What difference does it make now? And, you know, those kinds of things. Excuse me, I took antihistamine today for the cold. My throat dries out. And the challenge for us is this. God has to bring me, you know, Brian, are you going to change? Well, what do you mean? I want to get close to you. You had to watch him change. He thought it over. He made a decision. And then you saw me respond as God. I wanted to get close. As soon as he turns, I'm ready to run after you. This is not, you know, something where God's withholding love. He's simply saying, you won't let me get close, will you? You won't let me have that portion of your life. You don't want to let me into, and you name it, right? You got portions of your life. And God says, I got to get in there. I'm waiting for you to turn, because when you turn, then I can begin to draw close to you. So understanding this, the people finally said, almost like Brian, I will turn. I'm coming back. God goes running out to them. And that's the message of Zechariah. Zechariah says, now that you've demonstrated, you have thought this through and understand the heart of God for you, God comes running into your life and circumstances. And so for us today, what's the challenge? The challenge is God's message is exactly the same. I want to turn your marriage into something you've never even begun to understand yet. Even if it's the best thing you can possibly imagine, I'm going to multiply it times 10. I'm going to take your suffering. I'm going to take your situation. I'm going to take this building of the wall or this rebuilding of the temple, and you are going to grow through the whole process. It is going to change your heart. It is going to bless your circumstances. It's going to move you in the right direction. And so God is always in that business of calling us to turn. Please turn. And I go, it must be very frustrating. But fortunately, God operates a little bit differently than we do. All right? As soon as that person turns, God is willing to run toward them. And that's what we got to hang on to. God keeps going, what is it you want different in your life? Look back at your own previous time. What are you doing exactly the same you've always done? How are you behaving exactly with the same foolishness your father or grandfather or great-grandfather did? How are you manifesting the same characteristics of your mother or your grandmother and down the line? And it's not to be critical of them. It's not to make fun of them or abuse them. It's to say, Lord, I saw what that did to Mom. I saw what that did to him. I don't want that in my life. I want something different. God says, fantastic. I'm here. You don't have to belittle those who have gone before. You don't have to rise up in arrogant judgment. You are just coming to your senses. You're saying, I don't want my children to continue to live in a world like this. I want my children to have the kind of freedom that I know I wanted them to possess. I want them to have that freedom to express their faith. I want to start taking that stand. I want to do what's necessary because God said the moment I stand or move close to Him, He will come running into my world and my circumstances. And so that's the invitation Zechariah gives the people just here in this first one. It says, you've done to us what our ways deserve, just as you have determined to do. And it stops there for now. But the good news is God now begins to open the floodgates of mercy and grace. And He says, now watch. And we're going to continue with that. Pray with me if you would. Lord, why do we have to stop? Why do we have to turn around? Lord, I repent of being comfortable with foolish behavior. I repent, Lord, of being comfortable with walking away instead of walking toward you. I repent, Lord, of that something so simple as to ignore your call. Lord, turn us around. Teach us what it means to be full of your Holy Spirit. Teach us what it means to be surrendered and fully governed by the working of your mercy and grace. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be invested in you. Teach us, Lord, not with the negatives, but with understanding we don't want to walk there, Lord, because we want all the good that you have planned for us and for this nation and for our children and for our children's children. And Lord, we're asking that you would call us into that walk of integrity, that walk of righteousness, that walk of obedience, that walk of faithfulness, so that we can see your hand of mercy and grace open up the floodgates of heaven, begin to pour blessings down over us. We ask, Lord, that in all things we would begin to reflect what we have learned not to do from the brothers and sisters who have gone before. Lord, draw us into faithfulness and guide us each step of the way. We pray this in your name, Lord. We pray, Lord, a blessing over our finances, and as the offering is received, Lord, help us to honor you even in that area and just guard and watch over us. We pray this because of your mercy, love, and grace. God's people say, amen. If you're a guest or a visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. We're just thankful you're here. If you need some, take it out. And if you need more, let us know. We'll try and help you.
Yesterday was Reformation Day. Today is All Saints Day. And it's also the